desire and interest in your prayers this morning and your attention. I've written on the board, time is now. But for what? I don't think that the Lord put us on this earth to just drift through the gift of life aimlessly. I believe He has purpose for all of us. When you think about the millions, billions of people that have lived before we have lived and have long been buried and gone, many more than what are alive today, they're gone. They're not here. But for some reason, today, you're alive. And I don't think it's just because. I don't think it's just that we're like a leaf that appears on a tree and then falls and blows away and is gone and another one will take its place next year. Life is a gift. Time is a gift. And the Lord, I believe, has a purpose for us now. I believe that the Lord wants us to have self-awareness, awareness, He wants us to care that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I believe that now is the time. Now is the time. But for what is the question often? In the scriptures, there are analogies, spiritual analogies that are related to fishing. I have one, if you'll let me share it. Stuck with me for a lot of years. I know I've shared it before. I don't know if I've shared it here. But a lot of years ago, I had opportunity to go fishing for fish that I had never caught before. There were game fish, strong fish, big fish. And the water was beautiful and the scenery was beautiful. The islands around it was beautiful. And the way that it worked was you got on this boat and there weren't a lot of people on the boat. I think there were six of us that were going to fish. And the way it was set up was that there were six fishing poles, and each fishing pole had its designated place. Three on each side. And you didn't hold the fishing pole. You didn't find a place on the boat and then hold your fishing pole. You could sit wherever you wanted. And then the fishing poles were put in holders on each side, and one line was cast farther than the other two on one side, and then the next one a little closer to the boat, next one a little closer to the boat, and then the same thing on the other side. And there was a whiteboard that had everybody's name, their last names, right beside the pole position. So one, two, three, four, five, six, and there was a name. And the way they did it was, every 30 minutes, they would change what pole you were assigned to so that no one would think that somebody else had unfair advantage because the bait was different places in the water. And in this boat, there was a seat in the back of the boat. We've been on one of those boats that have the seat. I'm gonna try to draw a crude drawing of the seat. In the back of the boat, there was a seat. And it was at an angle for a reason.
You reclined back in the seat and you could put your feet up here on this pedestal for leverage because you weren't fishing for 2-pound fish. And there was just one of these seats. It was the seat. We started fishing and high expectation and hearts were probably beating faster than normal. And the first 30 minutes went by and nothing. And the skipper went over and erased the numbers and indexed them forward one. And so you tried to find which pole was yours and okay, that's my pole. And only 30 minutes had passed and this is going to be a number of hours fishing trip. So, you know, all's not lost yet. Second 30 minutes passed. Nothing. Dead. Entered into the next 30 minutes. And by this time, our heart rates had come down and starting to just pay more attention to the pretty water and the islands around you and maybe what you were going to do that evening. Because the fish aren't biting. This is just going to turn into a good boating trip. And I know me, I'm never the one. If there's six poles and one of them's going to have a fish, it's not going to be me. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So I could think about other things. And I don't remember how many 30-minute segments went by. And our minds are in different places, and all of a sudden, one of those poles just went wild. Came alive and just started pulling line. See, the way it worked is the boat went pretty fast anyway, always, and drug the bait through, and it's looking for fast fish to come after it. And if they grab it, there's good reason that the line's going to start coming out. And this pole went to town. And everybody's waking up quickly, and I'm looking at that pole, and I'm thinking, I think that's my pole. No, it can't be my pole. Must be somebody else's pole. There's no way that it was my pole. And I looked up at the whiteboard, you know, 1, 2, 3. All this time, the line's just 1, 2, 3. I think it's my pole, but I don't want to grab it if it's somebody else's. That'd be an awkward situation. It seemed like all this was going in slow motion. It probably went really fast. And all of a sudden, the skipper, he's like, Smith, who's Smith? Where are you at? Smith, pole number 3 or 4. Smith, I'm Smith right here. Smith, get in the seat. Your name's been called. Move. It was my turn. My name had been called. It wasn't anybody else's responsibility. Nobody else's pole got bit. Mine did. The time was right then. The time was not tomorrow. The time actually wasn't a minute from now. It was like right now. And what was it time for? It was time for me to respond to the call of my name. Smith, that was me. There was no other Smiths. And it was time for me to take my spot that was my designated spot to fulfill my responsibility at that time. Long time ago, on a day of much consequence, there was a young man determined but misdirected. That was on his way to Damascus. And as he was going down that road with much purpose, a familiar purpose, he'd done this before, he was struck down by a power that was greater than himself. And he was enveloped in a light that was something more than what he could create or come up with.
And he was blinded by it.
And that day his name was called Saul. Saul, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why?
Put yourself in these situations, if you will, this morning. We're here for a little bit of time. Let's make use of the time. Sometimes your name is called
Wittenborn, Smith.
It's time.
What are you doing? Where are you going? Why?
It was an appointed time for a lot of things to happen for that man that day. It was time for him to stop. It was time for him to listen. It was time for him to reflect. It was time for him to change course that day. But the Lord called his name. He had a different name that he wanted him to be called by. And the Lord has something different for you in life than what he just has for you today. He doesn't intend for life to be stagnant. He doesn't intend for you to be in the same place all the time. As time passes, there are times in life where it's time to get up. It's time for change. We heard the other night about the young rich ruler who ran to the Lord to find out some information, to seek some understanding, to get some direction, and he got it. And when he got the information from the Lord and the Lord spoke to him, it was time for him to sell. It was time for him to give. And it was time for him to follow. Then. Not next year. Not later. Then. What was it time for? It's time for him to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. When? Now. Right now. Jesus looked upon a number of people while he did his ministry, and he came to them, and to some he said, he looked at them and he said, rise up and walk. You rise up and walk. When? Tomorrow? No. Right then. Do what? Rise. You're sitting. You're laying. You've been in this situation that may have seemed like this is your life. But it's not supposed to be your life from now on. Because it's time to rise up. And it's time to walk. The Lord came to Joshua prostrate in the dust, wrapped in his failure and his discouragement and his dismay. Remember? And the Lord said, what are you doing down here, Joshua? Get up. It's time to do something different than what you're doing. In the third chapter of Acts, Peter and John came to a man at the gate, and he was a lame man. And Peter looked at him, and he looked in his eyes, and he said, look on us. When? When was he supposed to look at him? Tomorrow? Next year? When it was convenient? When he didn't have to be distracted by everything else that was going on behind Peter and John? No. The time to look was right then. That was the appointed time. Jesus walked by Matthew. Seated at his receipt of exchange, a place
where he had become familiar with. May not have liked everything about it, but it was a familiar place. It was a place that he could anticipate what was going to happen to a point. And the Lord walked by and he said two words. You remember what they were? Matthew, follow me. When? Later? At a different season of his life? When it's more convenient? Nope. Jesus said, Matthew, follow me. Jesus went by Peter and Andrew and said something similar. He came by and he said, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You've lived your life up until this point, making a living and giving yourself to doing something that has been familiar since childhood, no doubt. But now is the time for change. Now's the time for something different in your life. Not later, but now. Do you think that we are exempt this morning from such calls? Anybody here think you're exempt? You think the Lord doesn't care anymore? You think he doesn't know about you? Do you think he doesn't see you this morning in the congregation? Doesn't know about you? Doesn't know about your life? Doesn't know about who you influence? Who you're influenced by? Where your heart is? Where your life is? What's ahead of you? What's at the end of the road if you stay on the same road that you're on today? Think he doesn't know those things? He does know. And he cares. And we're not exempt from these sorts of calls. Do you hear your name being called? Do you listen for it? Listen to the wise man in Ecclesiastes 3. It says to everything in the first verse, there is a season. Everything, there's a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and there's a time to die, and there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, there's a time to break down, but then there's a time to build up. Yes, there's a time when it's time to weep and to cry, but then there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to mourn, a time to dance, and cast stones away, gather stones up, and he could have gone on and on and on. To everything, there's a season. What is a season? Is a season, when you hear that word, does that mean something never ending? Is that a season? It's not a season. A season comes and then it goes, it passes. And another season comes. And our lives are made up of seasons. Your life is made up of different seasons, and it doesn't stay the same. And the Lord has different responsibilities for you in life than he did earlier on. He has different places that he wants to take you. Oftentimes it's not time to do this, but then at other times it is. And if we miss the call, and we just doggedly pursue that which is familiar and comfortable and entrenched in the box that we have created or found ourselves in, and maybe it took a while to get used to that, but then we don't want anything to be different than that, we're going to miss the train. There's trains that come our way, and
The whistle blows our name. And sometimes the whistle blows and it says, it's time to stay put. This train's going to pass you by. Stay put. It's necessary to know when it's time to remain. But other times the train comes and it blows our name and it says, you need to get on board. It's time for something different in your life. And if we're so taken with what we're doing and maybe we don't want to change, and we're scared of change and we're scared of going, sometimes we're scared of staying, or sometimes it's just not convenient. If we do that, we're going to miss what it's time for. There's consequences. Not just for you, but for the lives of other people that are affected by your life. Because life moves on. Life brings change. It's dynamic. The Lord is dynamic. And He doesn't expect us to stay in the same place. The timing of the Lord is important. Do you remember when the Israelites were going to go, the Lord told them, go battle the Amorites in Canaan. And they were going to send some spies over. So they sent some spies over and they came back. And 10 of them said, well, you know the story. And they said, well, they're like giants over there and we're really scared. And it's a really great place over there. It'd be a good place to go. But we're not able. We can't do it. So the Lord said, okay, don't go. Don't go. And then later, they felt bad that they didn't go when they were supposed to go. And they said, we're going to go anyway. We're going to go. We'll go. And the Lord said, no, don't go. I said, don't go. That season of when you were supposed to go is past. Now the new season has come. You missed that one. But now this one is stay. And they went anyway. You remember? And they were defeated. And the Bible said that they were chased as bees chase people. Think about that. You want to be chased by a bunch of bees? You want to have swarms of bees chase you? I don't. But unnecessarily in life, we don't take enough time to understand what now is the time for. And we go and do our own thing and we get into trouble and other people get into trouble. And we miss the opportunity that was there for us. Paul reminded us in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Listen, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This is a personal message this morning. It's not just a general message to be preached because it's Sunday. I believe the Lord inspired this message for today. For all of us. What is it time for you to do? What's it time for in your life? Do we seek the answer to that as Paul did when he was stopped on that road that day as he was following his misdirected passion? We can do the same thing, you all. We get so comfortable with routines and with the way of life. We get up in the morning and then we do this and then we do this and then it's time for this and then we get home. And I know life is made up of routine. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think the Lord's gonna. He's not asking us to just be going everywhere. There's something to be said for stability, and life brings consistency in a lot of things. But the danger is that if we're not careful, we can adopt those places where it's good to have patterns and routine and consistency, and adopt that into places where the Lord wants to bring change in our lives. And we close our mind and we just want to do what we've always done.
And when we just want to close our mind and the options to those things that are outside of what we become familiar with and acquainted with and accustomed to. And we miss the call. The seat of responsibility that is yours to fill goes vacant. The thing that's out there that's begging to be addressed continues to go unaddressed because the place is empty that the Lord is calling you to fill. Wasn't calling you to fill it an hour ago, last year, maybe the last 10 years, maybe the first part of your life, you were never called to come fill this seat in life. But there comes a day, there comes a time, if we're willing, where if our ears are open, the Lord says, Smith, where are you? And I need to be in a place where I can say, Lord, here I am. Some say, well, I didn't hear his call. Well, I didn't hear the whistle blow. Well, I didn't hear him call my name. Lord, I didn't know you. I didn't know that was you. I didn't know that's where I was supposed to go. I would have if I'd have known. Do you remember the parable of the sheep and the goats? They said, oh, Lord, when did we see you? Sadly, oftentimes we don't listen for the voice of the Lord as we should. Oh, we listen closely and we seek those things that appeal to our senses and our hearts, and we go after it and we pursue it, and we'll bore through mountains to get what it is that we want to get. But do we have the same sense of urgency to hear the voice of the Lord when he calls us? I don't want to miss the call. I don't want to be out of season. I don't want to be doing something that used to be right for me, that the Lord was pleased with. But now I'm doing the same thing, and the Lord, he wanted me to be somewhere else because it's a different season. Good news of the gospel this morning is that the Lord will help us if we'll let him. And if we've missed some of the calls in the past, which no doubt we have, there'll be more trains that come by our way. The Lord is a merciful God, and he comes and he continues to call to help get us where he wants us to be. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, and we say, oh, well, I'm not wicked, I'm not doing anything wicked. If he can get our attention where we'll turn from the way that's our way and be willing to be open to going the way that the Lord wants us to go, he said, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. He'll be our God and we can be his people. The Lord is patient. He's long-suffering. He's a good shepherd. But there does come a time when it's time. When now is the accepted time. And delay causes unnecessary trouble for you and for other people and lost opportunity. The right time is not always the most convenient time. It's not always the time of choice. But it's the right time.
we're not careful, we can get in those ruts and those routines that we spoke of a moment ago and miss what is the right time for. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, preacher, what are you talking about? You're talking about when it's time to be a missionary and go across seas or give my body to be burned or... No, not necessarily. I don't know what it's time for you to do in your life today. Sometimes it's time to wait. We're people that are in a hurry perpetually. Sometimes we're people that push our agenda, what we want. Maybe the Lord's saying it's time for you to wait. It's time for you to be still in this area over here. He might be saying, you know what? It's been right for you to wait all this time regarding this situation. But now it's the right time to move. Perhaps it's the right time to forgive somebody. Maybe you've been holding something. Maybe you've allowed bitterness in your heart. And it's just always been there. And it's always been that thing that separates you from really just coming clean and being free from it. And it may be that the Lord is coming by your way and he's saying, okay, Rod, you're up. It's time for you to climb into this seat. And it's time for you to forgive. It's time for you to give that up. Maybe there's something in my life that I've been hanging on to that has been a hindrance to me. Or maybe it hasn't been a hindrance to me up until this point, but the Lord can see that it's going to be a hindrance to me if I hold on to it. So he says, it's time. Time for you to give this up and let go. There may be some here this morning that live in perpetual guilt. Always feeling guilty and you don't know why. Don't rest in the Lord. Have a hard time trusting. And it may be that the Lord's coming by your way and he's saying, it's time. Now's the time. Say, Lord, for what? It's time to trust me. It's time to stop allowing this to be all about what you've done wrong, and it's time to focus on what I've done for you. It's time to get up. It's time to go. I don't know what it is for you. That water that's out in front of you, it's always been there, and you've operated and lived your life on this side of it, and kind of know in your heart the Lord has said if there's a better life on the other side, but we're afraid to step in the water because there's this thing that separates us from here and there, and that thing that separates us just seems too big. I don't know what it is for you, but the time is now for something, for you, to step into the water, to have faith and believe, and not, no, it's not living in perpetual fear that I don't know what it's time for me to do. And Lord, I just, what am I supposed to do, Lord? And then we just become in bondage to that. No, it's the Lord is just calling us to open our ears and open our heart. Rest in him, but listen for him. He is our God and we are his people. We're sheep of his pasture. He's the shepherd. Lord, help me to know when you want me to turn. Help me to know when you want me to stop. Help me to know when you want me to go. It's 2025. We've been given another year. The start of another year. Nothing's necessarily so different about this past week than the weeks before. The calendar changed. But it does represent that life's moving on. It does mean that we're a year older than we were the last time that we were here at New Year's. It does mean that a season has come and gone. We're not in the same place that we were a year ago. The Lord's not expecting the same things of us that He did a year ago in every situation. What is it time for in your life this morning? I think it was Wednesday. A song was sung, "I Can Trust Jesus." When the shepherd speaks and he draws us and he says, "Come," calls our name, I want you to know this morning that you can trust him, that he's right. He knows what he's doing. He knows where you are when we don't understand. When he says that it's time, I can trust Jesus that it's time. It's the right time. I caught the fish that day. After 20 or 30 minutes, had a blister to show for it. I was proud of that blister on my hand. I brought it in. Had never caught one like it before and have never caught one like it since. I caught it because my name was called. And I was willing to take the seat that was mine to take at that time. But you know what? I haven't fished so well in all areas of my life, all through my life. There have been times that I didn't answer the call as well as I should have answered the call. There were seasons of my life that if I had it to do over again, I wish that I could do it over again to do it better. I'm not talking about literal fish. But just because I have not done everything right in the past, I'm sure there'll be times in the future where I'll fail yet again. Shouldn't cause us to draw back and be afraid to answer the call. Shouldn't be afraid to take the seat, to get up, to move because of the times in the past where maybe that's what we did and felt like we didn't do a very good job. We can trust Jesus that when He calls your name, it's the right time. The time is now, but for what? Listen close. This is key to the answer to that. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door, at your door, and I knock. And if any man, if any one of us, any person, if you'll hear my voice, if you'll stop long enough to listen for the knock at your door,
and open the door. Be willing to let him in regardless of your fears, regardless of what it may mean for you in life. He said, I'll come in and I'll break bread with you. You can break bread with me. And we'll find what it's time for.
It's not usually in the thunder and lightning or the earthquake or the great wind or the fire. But often it's a still small voice. The Lord comes our way each day. No, it's not always dramatic changes of life. Sometimes it is. Oftentimes it's taking advantage of the moment that the Lord has given to us. We can trust Jesus this morning. Now, I wonder this morning if we could stand and have the words to that song. We could sing that song again, and while we sing, don't just think about, oh, I can trust Jesus and just be comfortable where I am and just leave it all into his hands, but we have a responsibility in our own lives. I can trust Jesus while I come to him and I say, Lord, I know it's time for something. What is it? Maybe this morning we could stand, and while we sing, we could seek and lift up our hearts to the Lord where we are at our benches and pray and ask the Lord, what is it time for? Amen.